Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This week, WBUR featured two powerful stories about the increased rates of suicide in the Massachusetts Army National Guard. In the past 2 years, 8 Bay State Guardsmen have taken their lives.
This morning, we heard the story of Joaquin Pereira Jr., a Massachusetts National Guard soldier who was 25 years old when he ended his life almost a year ago, after 2 long deployments. First, he went to Iraq, then to Afghanistan.
Pereira's problems began after coming home from Iraq. He began drinking heavily, but never opened up about his experiences overseas. Tammy Sprague Gallagher is Pereira's mother. She spoke with WBUR's Lynn Joliker about what happened to her son.
Just 8 months after Pereira returned from Iraq, he deployed to Afghanistan for more than a year, this time with a military police unit. Later, he and other soldiers stood guard at the bloody scene of the Boston Marathon bombings, where he stayed for 2 weeks. He never opened up about that experience either, his mother says, but it added to his being on edge. He had been getting startled by noises out on the street and at home.
He said, "Mom, something's going to happen. I know it is. I'm going to be prepared. I want to be able to protect my family and myself."
He started to pursue getting a permit to carry a concealed weapon, but he also finally started seeing a psychiatrist privately. The doctor put him on psychiatric medication his mother says did not mix well with his drinking. He was also struggling to find steady work and make ends meet, and that created stress with his girlfriend with whom he was living. Gallagher says Jack did start going to AA and stopped drinking for a time. She, meanwhile, felt helpless, a feeling that persists to this day and pours out in the thoughts her niece helped put into words.
"You should have so many years to watch your family unfold. And in the midst of all, watch me, your mom, grow old."
As for help from the military, Gallagher says she knows Jack got a packet of information on where he could seek medical and mental health services, but he never opened it. She received letters on how to look for signs of post-traumatic stress and other problems in her soldier son.
"But see, my son was a good actor. He was hiding stuff. They need to make sure that they go through some kind of rehabilitation process or whatever when they come home after serving."
The Guard says all members are required to go through in-person health and mental health evaluations after deployment and annually. But Guard leaders acknowledge it's easy for some people to say they're fine when they're not. Pereira even promised his mother he wouldn't kill himself. That was in September of last year, when his stepbrother on his father's side died by suicide.
"I had said to him, 'Jack, don't ever do this to your family. Mom, I would never do this to my family. I couldn't even do it to myself,' that's what he told me. And he made me feel, 'Okay, I'll never think about that again,' because he's not going to do that."
But just 3 weeks later, he did. After Pereira spent a weekend hanging out and partying with friends, during which he started drinking again, those friends called his mother saying they couldn't find him. His mother says she knew in her heart he was gone because he didn't respond to her messages as he always did. He was found dead on his father's property.
"What is in his mind is what made him do this. They're still at war when they come home, these soldiers are. In their minds, they are."
Only after his death, Gallagher came to learn just a little bit of what her son witnessed and experienced in war. A Guard leader was the one to tell her Jack had survived an IED blast.
"And it had flipped over his Hummer multiple times, and he was actually taking his soldier buddies, rescuing them, taking them out of the Hummer because the Hummer was on fire. And he's also got his gun shooting, fighting at the same time. I felt so proud of my son, how brave he must have been to get through something like that."
Now, Gallagher says her days are consumed with thoughts of Jack, to the point where she feels her brain is too full to hold anything else. But she still has family to care for. She says her daughters, 14-year-old twins, went through times of nightmares in which they woke up crying for their brother. Gallagher's husband, Jack's stepfather, but very much a second father figure, also still breaks down at times. She tries to find moments of peace when she thinks of her pride in her son and all the good years they had.
"Now let's start this day together, hand in hand. Have our cup of coffee and see what it has planned. I hope you're watching from above at the daily tasks I do, and let there be no doubt at all, I really do love you.
Tammy Sprague Gallagher, remembering her son, Joaquin Pereira. He was a National Guardsman who took his life last year. She spoke with WBUR's Lynn Joliker in a special two-part series on the high rates of suicide in the Massachusetts Army National Guard. You can find links to both of Lynn's stories at RadioBoston.org.
Pereira was one of eight Massachusetts Guardsmen to kill themselves in the past couple of years, a significant increase from the five suicides over the previous 9 years. And the increase comes in spite of new efforts in the Guard meant to cut the suicide rate. And those efforts fall under the Guard's Resilience Risk Reduction and Suicide Prevention Program, which is headed by Sergeant Major Bill Davidson, who joins us now. Sergeant Major Davidson, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, I just wonder if you could reflect with us about what we can learn from what happened to Joaquin Pereira. I mean, he ended his own life 16 months after returning from Afghanistan. For folks who are struggling and might be listening to this, what lessons should we be drawing?
Well, I think it displays the challenges that we have in the Guard, is that we only see our soldiers 1 week a month and typically 2 weeks a year. So it's tough to pick up on some of those indicators that if we're around those soldiers all the time. And I think that's what this situation displays.
Yeah. Is that why you think that suicide, or is that one of the reasons behind why suicide rates in the National Guard are going up while they're actually, we're seeing them go down amongst active duty soldiers?
That's a great question. That's a challenge for both us in the military and on the civilian side. It's very difficult to answer. We don't have the answer. I wish I did.
Yeah. Well, I know that the Resilience Risk Reduction and Suicide Prevention Program has been put into place to try and do what is possible right now to help. And if I understand correctly, some of the things that the Guard already requires returning members to go through include an in-person evaluation 90 days after coming home from a deployment. And as Lynn mentioned in her reporting, they have to pass an annual health and mental health checkup. But we also heard Tammy Gallagher say that her son, you know, received a packet of information about where he could go if he wanted to seek out assistance, but he never even opened that packet because basically he was a good actor and really good at hiding what was the turmoil inside. So how does your program or the Guard, you know, reach out to soldiers like Pereira?
Well, that's obviously our biggest challenge, is the stigma that our soldiers face. If they feel if they come forward that they it's a sign of weakness and that it may hurt their career. So they hold it in and they, you know, may not tell the whole truth at these periodic health assessments or screenings. So how do we get out to them? We show them, and I think in our organization we've shown that our senior leadership cares. It comes from the top, that they are part of our family, and that will help you through this process. And we have many examples, unfortunately, of soldiers that are going through these stressors and troubles that still continue to serve after they get through their situation. And I think we show how positive we do that in our organization.
Well, one of the ways in which we learned that you do that outreach is, say, through social media, because I heard that there was a soldier who was really struggling and was sharing some of those struggles on Facebook, and you reached out directly to that person through Facebook. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. We try to reach out to social media, as we know, especially that population of our, you know, 18 to 24-year-olds, we all know that they're into the social media. So we obviously monitor Facebook, and we had a situation where a soldier was attempting suicide, and we work with the state police. And long story short, we found him before he committed suicide and got him help, and he's doing a lot better now. So we also work with our family programs, because we feel that the family is basically our first line of defense at home.
Right.
So with family programs and the social media, that's one way of looking at that.
Have you seen a difference when it comes to working with families? Are they coming back to you and saying, yeah, we think there's a problem with our loved one, what should we do next?
I think we've seen an increase over the last couple of years, even with soldiers coming forward telling us that they have issues, because I think we're building a sense of trust that they can come to us and that we'll get them through this situation that they're going through.
Mm-hmm. You know, in Lynn's reporting, we heard something which I think a lot of people familiar with this story will recognize, that part of the challenge is the culture of the military itself. I mean, we heard that Joaquin, even though he had maybe felt that he needed help, didn't want to seek it out because he feared it would keep him from being sent on another deployment. I mean, is that a legitimate concern? What happens if a soldier goes to the VA? Is that information shared with the Guard, and could it interfere with their opportunity in the future?
No, the VA, if you go to the VA, it's confidential, and that wouldn't hurt him on a deployment. He, like every soldier, will still have to go through the medical process and be screened, and if he's deemed deployable, then he'll deploy.
Yeah. Well, we also heard Joaquin's mother, Tammy Gallagher, say something that's really just stuck in my mind. She says that these young men and women, they're still at war when they come home. In their minds, they're at war. And I noticed that resilience is included in the program's title, which you head. So how does resilience factor into all this? And how do you seek to train soldiers to achieve that resilience?
Sure. It's sort of a lengthy explanation, but it falls under, back in 2009, the Army established the Comprehensive Soldier and Family Fitness Program. And under that is what we now have is the Ready and Resilient Campaign. And what that does is take a holistic approach to the soldier, and it's called Five Dimensions of Strength. They look at the physical aspect, the social aspect, the spiritual, emotional, and family. And it's a holistic approach of how to make that soldier cope with adversity, perform better in stressful situations, and do better in life, and think optimistically.
Mm-hmm.
And how we do that is that there's 12 resiliency skills that we will train in our force over the next 2 years. It's a little more difficult with the Guard, where we meet 1 week in a month as opposed to the active Army. But eventually all our soldiers will be trained in these 12 skills that will eventually help build a more resilient soldier.
Well, Sergeant Major Bill Davidson is head of the Resilience, Risk Reduction, and Suicide Prevention Program for the Massachusetts Army National Guard. He joined us today from Beverly. Sergeant Major Davidson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And listeners, for a link to Lynn Joliker's special reports on suicides in the Massachusetts National Guard, go to our website, radioboston.org.
And stay with us. Coming up, actor Malcolm Jamal Warner on stage at the Huntington Theater Company's production of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.